And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is searching. Each of my guests is explaining searching for his or her topic, whether it's searching on the internet, searching for a sustainable environment, or searching for money. A big shout out before we get to my next guest to Christy down in Oxnard. She's the winner of four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. She'll probably go to the location in Oxnard at 1730 East Gonzales Road, the intersection of Rose and Gonzales, but she could just as easily go to the one in Ventura at 4950 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Shopping Center. Congratulations to you, Christy, on being our winner, and thank you for being a loyal listener. Every show has a theme, as I said. Today's theme is searching. My next guest is the top financial coach to young Americans. He'll describe his search for financial freedom and explain his system for college students and young professionals to get loaded from his book of the same name. And if you want to call in and ask a question or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Peter Biligas became a top authority on money management for young America the hard way by first falling deep into credit card debt. Peter entered college with several thousand dollars in savings, but within 6 months, he found himself $5,000 in credit card debt. Determined to dig his way out of debt, Peter began learning about personal finance, reading over 300 books on the subject, interviewing experts, and attending seminars. By graduation, Peter's credit card debts were clean, and he was on his way to financial freedom. Peter wrote the book, Getting Loaded, a Complete Personal Finance Guide for Students and Young Professionals. After graduation, Peter went to work for a national financial company and became a top salesperson in his district within his first year. Shortly after that, he got his financial planning license. Peter opened up his own fee-only financial planning firm, one of the few in the country that catered exclusively to young people. Peter has since dropped his financial planning license to focus on writing and speaking. He's known as the go-to guy for young people and their money. He now gives over 100 presentations a year for high school, college students, as well as members of the military. Joining us from back east. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, I am terrific. Thank you for being our guest. Really appreciate your coming on and onto the show. Let's start, if we can, because you are the financial advisor to young Americans. What is your sense about what young Americans are feeling about the mounting debt that is being placed upon them? Every citizen in the United States right now has $48,069 in debt, and that rises every single day. What do young Americans feel about this mounting debt?
You know, I think that a lot of young Americans are more focused on their own personal debt, and they don't even realize a lot of times this large specter of debt that's being placed upon them, something that they may not fully understand that precise number. And I say that because I run into a lot of college students who still don't even know exactly how much student loan debt they have, debt that they voluntarily took on. And I think that you know, unfortunately, we're headed for a little bit of a rude awakening when people start to peel back and realize the real numbers, not just the numbers that are in your life, the numbers that you chose or opted for, but numbers like the one you just said, that $48,069 that they are going to inherit. The focus has more been on the immediate, what do I do with my debts, Peter? How do I deal with these debts when I can't get a job or when the job I thought I could get is paying half as much now? That's kind of what I've been seeing, is the more focused, the more internal stuff, rather than the larger sense of the national debt.
All right, so they're not as concerned about the national debt. It hasn't hit them or affected them as much yet. But, I mean, take your own example where you were $5,000 in credit card debt. If you added that to the $48,069 that is the federal debt, all of a sudden, you know, that's a big nut to crack. A lot of people don't think about it. So what do you advise your young American clients to do when they're faced with this staggering amount of both personal and federal debt? What is some of your training for them?
Well, when it comes to the personal debt, I grew up and went to college during the golden age of credit cards, where it was very, very easy for a college student to get a credit card. That has since tightened up. It's much more difficult now. But the new problem is college students are borrowing so much money on their student loans that literally their career choice will never be able to support those loan payments. So the simple thing I asked them to do with their own debts, their own student loans, is to just be very, very aware of how much they're borrowing, and not so much the grand amount, but what does that amount mean in terms of monthly payments? Because student loans, we don't pay them all at once. Nobody writes a $30,000 check to pay off their student loans. We pay them off month by month, $100, $200 at a time. And I tell students, I want you to know what that number is, and I want you to know what that number is every semester as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's what I recommend that they do with their own debt. With regards to this mounting federal debt, because, you know, this is a problem that if you, whether you recognize it or not, it is going to come around. Inflation, I think, has been artificially low for many reasons, but, you know, the bigger that debt gets, the less that those dollars in our pocket are worth. So I've started to introduce college students to little tiny things that they can do to get started on investing, and get started on investing that will hedge against inflation. You know, I remind college students that right now a silver American Eagle coin costs about as much as maybe two pepperoni pizzas. And I don't know how many students in my audiences are investing in silver, but I'm guessing that almost all of them have purchased a few pepperoni pizzas in the last month. And if you can afford to do that, if you can afford to eat out and go to the movies, then you can afford to start investing in silver. Another investment that's not as good, because it uses the federal inflation numbers as opposed to real inflation, which is what silver would measure against. But a great little tiny investment is known as the I-bond. Can be purchased for as little as $50 at your local bank, and it has a little bit of an inflation protection. Certainly, something that's a little bit better than what you're going to get in your local bank. And those are two just tiny little things that people can do to slowly start protecting themselves.
All right, my guest is Peter Billigas. Peter, do young people that you talk to, are they resentful at all towards the baby boomers, my generation, who sort of created all of this debt, created some of the financial problems that they're facing with now that they're entering into the job market?
You know, I think some of the resentment or the friction comes from especially when those baby boomers who might be parents are looking upon this generation. And it's almost I see a lot of both generations pointing at the other one and saying, you had it easier than us. You know, and what I try to tell students and parents, because I speak to both, I try to tell them to recognize that each generation has their own set of issues. You know, certain things that my parents had to deal with, I don't have to deal with. But I got to deal with certain things that they don't have to deal with. And I think everybody needs to recognize that. You know, slowly as this stuff is all coming out in the wash, it's, you know, people are starting to realize if you haven't had a job for a year, I think you spend the first year really, really trying to look for a job. And then as a lot of time passes without a job, you start to wonder, well, why don't I have a job? What are some of these mechanics that are going on in the background? And, you know, things like that debt number that you said, the $48,069, things like programs that were set up years ago, like Social Security, that maybe at the time we could afford, but right now with our current situation, we simply can't.
Well, all very good points, Peter. But then it leads us to a discussion of the Occupy Wall Street movement, because that movement appears to consist mainly of young people. So I guess my question to you is, are the young people just resorting to occupying as a form of protest? In some cases, it can be violent. Or is there a more constructive way for them to channel their frustration and channel their direction for building up their nest egg?
Well, you know, I do think that there is a more productive way. You know, I admire a protest. I think dissent is good in this country, and we certainly have freedom of speech. You know, part of the interesting thing about these protests is that, you know, there isn't a very crystal clear demand, and I think it's more just of a just an expression of frustration. And not knowing, you know, there hasn't been a demand of, and because of these occupations, we want X, Y, and Z. You know, what I think that's going on is I think that individuals are just, you know, they're just very, very frustrated. They're trying to figure out what's some of the mechanics of why we're in the situation that we're in. You asked about that resentment to the baby boomers. I haven't seen that as much, but I've certainly seen the resentment to the what people have now come to refer to as that top 1%, especially in the more, I would say, outrageous cases where a CEO who burned a company to the ground is suddenly rewarded with a rather impressive payday. You know, those are things that people are really standing up and saying, you know, enough of this. That's where I see most of the resentment coming from.
All right. My guest is Peter Bilegas, author of the book Getting Loaded, a complete personal finance guide for students and young professionals. So, Peter, let's get to you and what you're teaching people, young people, to do to call the shots when it comes to their own money. And the first place, of course, is always to start by knowing what it is you spend your money on. So take us through how you would advise a young college student who is still in college, senior year maybe, but getting ready to enter into that workforce?
Well, basically, what you just said, understanding exactly where your money goes is very, very important. A lot of times, you know, like you said in my introduction, I've read over 300 books, and every single one of those books told me to do a budget. The problem is if you ask the average person, how's your budget going, it's going terrible. I mean, the federal government has a budget, and look where they are. The real thing is we need to know exactly where our dollars go every single day. Oftentimes, a budget for people is a list of stuff they already know, or it's a list of things that they wish would happen. It's a list of how much you wish you spent on groceries, even though you don't actually really know. And I encourage people, one of the most powerful financial exercises I suggest is to take a week or even a month of your life and just write down everything that you spend money on. Because you'll be shocked to see how much you spend on taxi cabs and on video DVD rentals, even though you already have Netflix. All these kind of weird things that we spend money on, we need to know what those things are. That's the first thing that I would suggest that young people do. The second thing is if they're making that transition either out of college into the workforce or maybe out of the military into the workforce or even out of high school straight into the workforce, is just getting in advance some of those expenses. A lot of times we choose a lifestyle without first considering whether or not we can afford it. You know, we choose the car we want, then we move to the apartment that we want or move into the house that we want, and we realize that adding those together with our current salary, it just doesn't add up. And that's why some people, you know, try to paste that together with credit card debt or whatever. So knowing that stuff in advance, I brought up the example of the student loans. You know, many students don't know the amount of their monthly payment of their student loan when they graduate. The first bill is a surprise of, wow, it's $150. I didn't know that. And we just need to get some of those hard numbers down on paper.
All right, good place to start, Peter. Now, you mentioned in your earlier answers that you are a product of the credit card boom, that generation. You've got advice for students and young people entering the workforce about credit cards. What are your thoughts on credit cards for young people?
Well, you know, credit cards are a tool, like an axe or a chainsaw. They can do wonderful things, save you a lot of time on what you're trying to do. Credit cards are the best protection against identity theft, the best protection against merchant fraud. They help track your expenses, and they have all the perks like frequent flyer miles and all that stuff. But like tools, like any tool, they can be very, very dangerous. So the two things that I suggest people do are this. Number one, recognize that it is possible to build credit without getting a credit card. People say to me all the time, I got it just to build credit. And that's fine, but they didn't have to do that. There are other ways to build credit without getting a credit card. And then number two, if you do decide to get a credit card, if you look in the mirror and say, you know what, I can handle this, I tell people set themselves up to win. You don't have to carry your credit card around 24 hours a day. There's no law that says that. You can put it in a drawer in your house, and every month, you purchase your gas or your groceries or your whatever with that credit card. But, you know, if you carry around constantly when you go out on Friday night, when you go to the mall, that's just that smoking gun in your pocket that you're going to want to pull out. So set yourself up to win and realize if you don't want one at all, there are other ways to build credit without getting one.
Well, that's sage advice. My guest is Peter Bilegas, author of the book Getting Loaded, a complete personal finance guide for students and young professionals. Peter, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Getting Loaded?
Well, the biggest thing that I want people to take away is I think a lot of times we fool ourselves into thinking that tomorrow is going to be a better day to change your financial life. I mean, you know, you can't do it now because it's a Thursday night. It's almost the weekend. You can't do it over the weekend because you've got stuff to do. And then obviously you can't do it midweek because you're busy then. And the holidays are coming up, so we'll have to wait till that's started. The new year, is the good time to start, but then you started a new job, you moved to a new city, you got into a new relationship. Something is always going to come up. So I tell people the best time to get started is today, and just start with something simple. Start with the simplest thing in your financial life that you can think of. Maybe that's writing a list of your goals. Maybe that's picking up the phone, calling the financial aid office, and just saying, how much are my monthly payments? Maybe that is taking your credit card out of your wallet right now, putting it in a drawer in your house and saying, I'm going to leave it in that drawer, and I'm going to stop carrying it around on a 24-hour basis. But take some immediate action today and don't get fooled that tomorrow is going to be a better day.
Sage advice. Peter, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
People can find me actually on my new website, which is americasfinancialeducator.com. americasfinancialeducator.com. I'm launching a new blog there tomorrow. Some videos will be up next week, so please get in contact with me there at americasfinancialeducator.com.
That is great. Peter, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.